Welcome back, and joining me now with his take on the day's market moves is Nesan Nayar from Sasfin Securities. Thanks so much, Nesan, for your time this evening. And what a mixed trading day we're looking at right now. And I want to put two factors that are standing front of center at the top of our conversation. What's weighing more heavily for you right now? Is it China's indebted property sector or US corporate earnings that continue to surprise to the upside?
Yeah, you know, Alicia, it's been one of those days where, you know, as you say, you know, things are weighing quite heavily on our shoulders. And, you know, as you mentioned, also the rand is another thing that I think a lot of people are being stressed on about. And the fact of the matter is, you know, there is this dichotomy out there. I mean, on the one hand, there's lots of reasons to take off risk from the table. I mean, there's inflationary concerns. There's a potential, you know, debt crisis looming in China. I say potential because it's certainly not certain that we're seeing a 2008 scenario, for example. But on the other hand, U.S. companies continue to surprise to the upside. The U.S. economy seems to be still rather robust. So one doesn't quite know, you know, whether to put risk on or to take risk off, or how really to digest all this news, you know, in the face of the sort of conflicting sentiment that we're finding out there.
Absolutely. All the metrics seem to be pretty confounding right now. You talk about robust growth in the U.S., Ness, and you talk about this traction that the economy is managing to garner. And yet we've had a decline in oil prices filtered through today. It certainly hurt some of the energy shares globally, and falling back after industry data showed crude oil stock prices rising or stock piles rising more than expected, fuel inventories increasing as well. So how have you factored that into the equations?
I think the fuel companies or the oil companies are basically slowly ramping up to the pre-COVID levels, you know, in anticipation of higher demands. Remember, the oil price still, I think, above the sort of $84 or so right now at the moment. That's still, you know, 6-7 year highs for the U.S. For the oil price in U.S. dollars anyway. And I think for a lot of oil importers, you know, the challenge here is that we're going to see higher energy prices. In South Africa, we're going to see higher energy prices without a doubt. The challenges are there for economies like ours that have to deal with higher inflation, you know, imported through this higher oil price. And I think for me, it's really a question of how we deal with this and you know, how nations like us deal with this problem, you know, in an environment that's going to be, you know, inflationary across a whole spectrum, you know, of consumer-related products.
I want to add to some of that perspective that you put on the table, Nesan, because despite, like you say, the rally in the oil price taking a bit of a breather today, we've certainly had the likes of the CEO of Equinor still positive on the sector, saying that demand will continue to rise. So here's more on that.
We're seeing that the demand for oil is coming back to the 2019 level, pre-pandemic. So there is definitely a very strong demand for oil. We're seeing actually some gas to oil switching due to the high gas prices, and that is kind of putting extra demand to the oil. So we see that there is very little spare capacity in the system at the moment, and that is, there's a strong fundamentals for high oil prices going forward. Of course, we will see a volatile market. COVID-19 and the new Delta virus is moving around the world, more kind of regional effects of that. So there are some uncertainties, but generally, we think the oil price will stay at a high level. I don't want to bet on the oil price. My focus is really to make sure that we are now running the company the best possible way. We are focusing on production efficiency, keeping the production high, and then capture the prices. For the fourth quarter, we will most likely see a little bit higher production, We have increased the production license from the Norwegian government on two of our fields, Troll and Oseberg. These are our kind of fields where we can have spare capacity. So the production license is higher now. And we started that from 1st of October. Another field called Gina Krog, where we used to inject gas to produce more oil. We have now starting to export that gas, and that will increase the gas production even further. So we can be a reliable provider of gas to the European and the UK market when we see these high gas prices.
That was the CEO of Equinor, Anders Opedal. So, Nesson, you know, Anders not the only one knowing better than to bet on commodity prices. Let's home in on the activity we have seen in that space. You alluded to the rand sitting weaker. We closed above 15 to the dollar, and a big part of that was as a result of commodity prices putting pressure on emerging market currencies as a whole.
Yeah, so I think, you know, if you look at the sort of market today, you had slightly weaker commodity prices, of course, led by oil, but even the precious metals were lower as well. And you saw that on our mainstream commodity index, and you saw Naspers down, and you saw the financial shares were up. And I suppose that's kind of, in recent times, that's kind of given you the indication, you know, of some sort of risk off taking in our markets. And, you know, I just wonder how many more days we're going to see like that as people shift their exposures from some of these high-end cyclical shares like the resources shares, like the likes of the tech shares, Naspers and the like, and start putting money into sort of, you know, the value stocks, the financial shares. Of course, today the Rand hedges for obvious reasons also did quite well. So, you know, it's very difficult to read these markets. It's never easy, you know, to read markets, even at the best of times. But right now, you know, you've got two major conflicting themes that are going to affect your positioning. So the challenge is, you know, how do you prepare yourself for both of them?
Nathan, it's like you've got line of sight on my script today, because what a nice segue to our next clip that is provided there. Global markets, of course, as we've been chatting about, easing from record highs, and some analysts have decided to play it safe and reduce risk. Let's take a look at why Pinebridge Investments' Mary Nicola is taking profits.
We have been reducing risk over the past few months, probably since around May, where we've been reducing risk. And on a few key headwinds that we see in the market that is likely to have an impact on markets over the next 9 to 18 months. The first one would be tapering. You know, we all know that the central bank is going to start unwinding its balance sheet. The second thing is about inflation, you know, the persistent inflation that we're seeing, but we do expect it to be transitory. The other impact is the fact that growth is starting to crest. And these are some of the impacts that we think over the next 9 to 18 months will have an impact on markets. And so we have been reducing some of our cyclical exposure as a result.
So I'm a bit obsessed with yield curves because I believe in the bond market. I'm slightly old fashioned like that. These yield curves are all, we've put them up, a montage, a smorgasbord, but four of the largest ones, the US curve, South Korea, UK and New Zealand. Now you look at the Aussie news flow overnight and you begin to understand about the concerns about inflation, but these yield curves are all beginning to flatten out. I think globally we're looking at 160, 170 basis points of hikes across these kind of economies. Are you concerned about this level of flattening? Is it an ominous sign, and should it be heeded?
You know, the key thing for us in terms of fixed income, so we have been very short duration for quite some time and will continue to be. We do expect yield curves to rise, especially U.S. rates are likely to rise or other, you know, and not to an extent where it's troublesome for the markets, but given the fact that central banks are signaling, you know, that they are going to start unwinding their balance sheet, you know, you have the BOE, you've got the Fed. These are some of the key central banks that are going to start unwinding their balance sheet and looking, you know, even to eventually start hiking. That's obviously going to impact the yield curve. And as a result, we are seeing the flattening in the yield curve. So It's not as surprising, but as a result, we have been very short duration.
So that's some of the views globally, Ness, and out there in terms of how, you know, market positioning is starting to shift, given how the parameters are shifting, right? We hear about tapering coming. We talk about inflation being transitory as a result, because growth is going to be cresting at the same time. All of these terminologies coming into play. How do you view, in that context, a player like Famous Brands? It started to see some recovery, nowhere near just yet where it was pre-COVID, but you know, these are factors that impact quite severely a player like this, certainly on the local and then global scene as well.
I tell you what, Alicia, I'd rather be holding Famous Brand shares right now than the 10-year government bond. It's all cash. Because, you know, we can debate as much as we want to about yield curves, but we all know, not all. I think, you know, if you were in the market for more than the last sort of 14 years, you would know that interest rates have been kept artificially low by all this asset purchase programs. And, you know, tapering, all tapering means is that they're going to slow down or stop these asset purchasing programs, and that's going to drain liquidity from the market, and that's going to push up interest rates. You know, so what do you want to hold in an environment like that? You'd rather hold equity. You really would rather hold equity, because equity would at least keep pace with inflation. Of course, there might be, you know, an initial dampening of demand. You know, but that's not going to last forever. But what will last forever is the higher prices. So my sense is I'd rather be in equities in this sort of environment. But, you know, at the same time, what equities you buy is going to be very important. Stock selection is going to be crucial in the next.
Absolutely. I know you highlight, Nesson, that you'd rather be in a Famous Brands versus, you know, fixed income at this point. But what's your view on Famous Brands and the kind of results that have been put on the table? Are you encouraged about the where to from here?
Yeah, so I'm hoping that most of the bad news is already in the base. 50% increase in revenue, you know, on the 6 months from 2 billion to 3 billion shows that they are obviously have experienced an improvement, as you would have expected restaurants to have, you know, in South Africa with the relaxation of the lockdown. Earnings obviously a lot higher, profitability a lot higher. The most important thing for me, I think, you know, the gourmet burger kitchen business is now in liquidation. So, you know, it's money lost. You know, it's fine. At least it's behind them right now, and they can focus on, you know, improving their business going forward. They did speak about simplifying the menu. These are very good operators. They've been a very good operators for many, many years. Made a bit of a bad decision on that GBK business. But now, you know, obviously getting back to the knitting, which I think is positive for them. The share price didn't move up much today, but it's been going up in the last sort of, 6 months, if you've been watching it carefully, to where it is now around 60, 68 Rand or so.
Okay, so you're not holding, you know, that very big bad decision against Famous Brands. Let's see how this company progresses from this point. Absolutely, absolutely. What's your stock pick? You better be very careful because, you know, 6 months from now, we may be looking back and judging you, Nesson.
Listen, I'm going to stick my neck out. I'm looking at these bank prefs, and it's so hard, you know, not to notice that there's a flurry of activity in them. They've been climbing up First Strand, Standard Bank, APSA on a continuous basis ever since Nedbank announced that they were going to buy them out. So I think this corporate action deal that we were waiting for the last 10 years, kind of like RB Platts and Impala, actually, is finally going to take place. And I think banks are going to buy them out, which is why they're going up.
Let's leave it there, Nesson. Always a pleasure. Thanks so much for having joined us on the line this evening. Nesson and I, of course, with Sasfin Securities.